This is Take It or Leave It, the podcast releasing the raw, unedited teachings of Jesus. We are called to share his holy and powerful word that is not commonly taught, so all may be armed with knowledge of his commands. We are expected to live according to God's standard. Though this world may change, our Lord and Savior does not. Are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you are not distracted by this world? All teachings are shared with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you take it and implement change into your life, or will you leave it and continue on your own way? Jesus is coming quickly. Are you ready? I'm your host, Madison Santiago. Hello and welcome back to Take It or Leave It. Thank you so much for tuning in again. We are continuing our study of priesthood, and as you may have learned so far, it is so deep and intricate. God is specific, he is organized, and we are to be that way today. Before we continue our study and picking up on the ceremonies of the priest, I want to talk a little bit about prayer. And I first want to take you to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, and it says, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" That is not the first time that we have read that verse here on this podcast, and I just want to bring it back to the front of your memory because it is so true. Judgment does begin in the house of the Lord, and that is the church. It begins with us first, okay? We can pray, but not all can intercede. And there's a difference. In fact, there is a deep study that you can do on the different kinds of prayer to God, okay? But if you want to be an intercessor, you must have a personal relationship with Jesus. You will know his likes and you will know his dislikes and you will do what he likes. You will want to do what he likes, amen? You will know his teachings and obey them, okay? And that requires a deep study of the Word of God. And you have to know Jesus first to know how to intercede. He is the one we should imitate. He is an intercessor, and he is the greatest intercessor. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 25. And it says, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." Okay, so here we can understand that Jesus is the intercessor, like I had just said previously. It says the uttermost, meaning all the way. Who's he referring to here? This is people. He can save you and me all the way, and he can bring us to eternity. Amen. There's power in the name of Jesus to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to perform miracles, and raise the dead. And we need to remember that. In Jesus, there is all power. And today, we have so many people, they're just waiting for someone else to do it. And at some point, that is an insult to the power of God. Jesus said in the verse, "Those who come through me," meaning those who come to God through Jesus. It's like a tunnel, right? Imagine, it's like a tunnel you have to go through. And Jesus says, we are saved by grace through faith. And that's through Jesus. Unless we do this, Jesus will say he never knew us. But trust the word of God, because Jesus wants to know you. There is only one way to get to God, and that is through Jesus. And God is so specific. God says the name Jesus is the name given from heaven, so all man can be saved. Jesus lives to intercede for those who go through him. Okay? You must go through him to get to God. The Holy Spirit plays a very important role for people in intercession as well. The Holy Spirit is required for intercession today. He is required inside a person for intercession to be made. We can pray with the Holy Spirit, but to intercede is for those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, okay? And just to shed some more light on that, the Holy Spirit is on earth right now. That's what happened when Jesus returned to the Father. The Holy Spirit came on earth. So if you want to think about it technically, the Holy Spirit is with everybody, meaning around everyone, external. His presence is here. But to have the Holy Spirit indwelling is the requirement, and there's a difference, okay? We've talked about that several times. I encourage you to go revisit past episodes of this podcast. The Holy Spirit is a must. It's an absolute must to be inside of you, not outside of you. Let's head over to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 26 and 27, and it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." You know, today some people memorize their prayers, but Jesus taught us how not to pray, and we're not to memorize our prayers. As we just read, it's not the person making intercession, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in a person who is making intercession. In verse 27, we read of he who searches the heart and knows the mind of the Spirit. It says he makes intercession. This is Jesus. Jesus is interceding for the saint, which are those with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we can understand that the Holy Spirit and Jesus are communicating with one another to intercede to the Father, right? We can see the Holy Trinity at work here. The Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. Okay, that means the Holy Spirit is creating intercession inside of me to Jesus, because we have to go through Jesus in order to go to God. It must first go through Jesus. It would really help if you draw that out. Get a piece of paper and a pen and draw it out. You have one person, right, praying. You have the Holy Spirit making the intercession. There's an arrow pointing to Jesus, and then from Jesus, there's an arrow pointing to God. You can see it. You can see it. We must go through Jesus to get to God, and that Holy Spirit indwelling is inside of a man or woman. So how can we become a true intercessor? Well, know Jesus, because he is an intercessor. You need to study Jesus and his teachings. The problem with the churches today is that people just get saved and 2 days passed and they want all the power to cast out demons, heal the sick. And that's good to desire those things, but people want to move too quick to the power. You see, people crave power. This is why many seek witchcraft power, because that's an easy power to get, all right? Be reminded that Satan isn't picky. He'll take anybody. He'll take leftovers. He'll take the garbage, all right? Jesus is specific. Jesus has qualifications. And still today, the newly saved are in need to be submerged into the teachings of Jesus so they can know these things. It's too surface level. People come to Jesus and they finally repent. Right? But then they want all this power. But there's no deep understanding of Jesus, and that is critical. We cannot intercede unless the Holy Spirit is living in you or me, right? You cannot intercede if the Holy Spirit is not in you, and I cannot intercede if the Holy Spirit is not in me, okay? Without this, the Holy Spirit cannot intercede to Jesus and then to the Father. Do you know the difference between prayer and intercession? It's my hope that we will have a podcast and a study on this later on, but right now that is not the purpose of this, okay? But it's good to be reminded, right? Priests are intercessors, all right? As we continue in our study of priesthood, you should know that the story in Exodus was the first time that priests were anointed, all right? So now we're going into a slight review here. The work to be done, right, in the Old Testament was the consecrating of people that God chose. Peter said, "We are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and today all are called to priesthood, not some." This means we must move into that calling. All right, the calling will not force itself upon us. We must move into it. Though it's difficult, we must move. The ceremonies that we have discussed are meant for the priest's devotion to the services of God. The priests were chosen by God, and though they were chosen, they do not glorify themselves, but they glorify God. You and I, we take no credit. We take no credit, and God gets all the credit, because we did nothing. We were called, and we listen, and we honor God. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 4 to 5, and it says, "And no man takes honor to himself, but he who was called by God, just as Aaron was." Verse 5, "So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.'" So we know today that Jesus is the high priest, and he was chosen by the Father, right? Do you see it? You see some comparisons already? Is it beginning to click? God did the choosing. So we don't glorify ourselves, but the one who called us to priesthood. That's God. When you become a priest, you're not the same. Your friends and your family change. You have a new family that you spend your time with. Of course, I'm not saying that you abandon your family. But what I am saying is that you move into a new community. And I'll explain. You move from an unbelieving community to a believing community. You move from a natural community to a spiritual community. You become available for immediate service by God because we are set apart for this world. And again, I'm not saying you don't see your family. It's good to see your family, but you are set apart for God. We are to minister unto God when we are priests. And today, man will hear this and notice the way that you are, and they're going to call you a fanatic because you're too serious, right? You're working too hard to be saved, a lot of people say today, that we're working too hard. Can you believe it? Praise God, though, because we rest in peace because we are in the will of God. We cannot serve God unless we go through the consecration service, all right? And that's what we've been talking about here. We must be accepted. Then service follows. It's the same today because God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus emphasizes that difficult is the way and few shall find it. If you are a priest, you are a mediator between the unbelieving world and God. People who are saved and dwelled by the Holy Spirit, those are chosen people. They are royal. They're chosen by God. Again, all are called into priesthood, but not all move into that calling. Those who do not move into that calling can expect troubles in their life, all right? It's the most dangerous place to be outside the will of God. Amen. And we stand at the door of the presence of God because we are the gatekeepers. The unbelieving world needs a mediator. As a quick review, to be a priest, we must first be washed, meaning we must be clean to be a vessel for the Lord. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. If you work out your salvation, you will do the things that priests are to do today according to God. Are you saved because you feel like it? No. Salvation is not a feeling, but it's a demonstration, okay? We are to be washed first to become a vessel for the Lord. You are not saved just because you feel like you're probably saved. You better know. You better know, and you better be constantly working it out, constantly putting your confidence in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit and perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Amen. So who cleans us? We must clean ourselves, this verse says, meaning we must submit. It is your responsibility to submit, and it's my responsibility to submit. And today, people don't take responsibility. Once you're washed, that's it, all right? Once you're washed, that's it. Once you are permitted to enter the presence of God, that's it. Why? Because you don't need washed again and again. This is in comparison to the teaching in the verse that many commonly skip over about one true repentance, right? If you're needing washed and washed again, you never actually truly repented. That Holy Spirit actually never came, right? You're driving without a license. Amen. Let's go to Exodus chapter 30. I'm going to read verses 17 to 21. And it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'You shall also make a laver of bronze, with its base also of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. You shall put water in it, for Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet and water from it. When they go into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn an offering made by fire to the Lord, they shall wash with water, lest they die. So they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations.'" Okay, so this is a forever rule. Once the priest is inside the tabernacle, they no longer need washed, right? Because remember, the washing outside the tabernacle was a complete washing, the removal of clothes, complete washing head to toe. And Moses did that right before they could be clothed, okay? When you agree to get washed, it is to occur once. Even if washed totally outside, you can still make mistakes, which is why our hands and feet need washed. You may touch something unholy, or you may participate in something unholy, a mistake, right? I'm not talking about sins, right? I'm talking about a mistake. When we make a mistake, we must have God cleanse us. All right, so the sons of Aaron and their descendants and their future generations, before they even proceed with any other ceremonies, they must wash their hands and feet because they must make sure that they're clean. Though they've been washed, they must examine themselves. They must make sure that they're clean or else they die. Let's make more sense of this. And this is a little bit of a funny story. And we're going to read about Peter. And Peter was not realizing that Jesus was more advanced than him. And remember, Peter was very prideful. Okay, we can see that in the Bible. But I want to take you to John chapter 13. We're going to read verses 6 through 11. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter. He is Jesus. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. You see Peter's pride here. Even though Jesus told Peter, you're not going to understand this, Peter continued. And Peter is even now telling his master, Jesus, what to do. He's telling him what to do by saying, Lord, also wash my hands and my head. Amen. Let's zoom in on this next verse. Verse 10, Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. So when Jesus says this, Jesus is referring to Judas, right? When he says not all of you, because we know that Judas betrayed Jesus. All right. Here in verse 10, it's a connection to the Old Testament. The priest who was at the door was washed once. So now only hands and feet needed to be washed, not the whole body again. All right. I'm just further supporting what we're talking about here. But the real question is, how does this relate to repentance? Because again, you repent once. If you mess up after that, you need to ask for forgiveness. All right. You need to ask for forgiveness, and we can ask God for forgiveness. And he tells us 70 times 7, we can ask, but we also must forgive. Amen? That's Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Please explore that on your own time. But we are cleansed once because we are to repent once, meaning we make up our mind once. That's a true repentance. So how many times will our hands and feet be washed? Many. Many, 70 times 7, we must repent once, but we must continue to ask for forgiveness, right? It's part of examining our hearts daily, right? To ensure that we align with the Word of God every single day. We also discussed the anointing oil that is received at the door of the tabernacle, which, if you remember, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And today, he must live in us. I don't think you can say that too many times in any teaching. You can't. The Holy Spirit must live in us, all right? Becoming a priest is still not completed at this point. There are sacrifices that need to be made in the Old Testament. Let's go to Exodus chapter 29, verse 10. And it says, you shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your fingers and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. You see, these instructions were given to Moses and they're so specific. Notice it says not with your hands, but your fingers. Verse 13, and you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on one of them, and burn them on the altar. Okay, so you butcher the bull. You see how specific this is? And this is difficult. It's a lot of work. And you must burn the fat. Verse 14, but the flesh of the bull, with its skin and its offal, you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Okay, so we now know that the bull sacrifice is a sin offering. Why burn the fat and the skin? Right? This represents flesh. Flesh is pride. It must be burned. Satan is the origin of pride. Pride is in me and pride is in you, and it's of Satan. It's what makes us lie. It's what makes us sin. And it must die. We must be the one to kill the pride that was placed in us because we cleanse ourselves. All right, we decide to submit, right? And of course, God will step in and do the cleansing, but it's us who must make up our mind. We cannot be close to God with pride. All right, the Holy Spirit cannot cohabitate with pride. Remember that God dwells in those with a contrite spirit, meaning a broken spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot dwell in pride. Peter had pride, right? But remember, the Holy Spirit was not yet available to Peter to help him kill his pride, all right? So the sin offering from the priest is first. Can you imagine this? You have already been washed. It's such a long process. You've been washed. You've been clothed with justification. You've been anointed with oil. And now there's the sin offering. You see, you repent so the Holy Spirit can come to you. Then comes forgiveness. The priests must receive forgiveness for their own sin. We must be forgiven first before we can help others. In the Old Testament, the priest must take the sin offering of others, but first must be forgiven. It's critical. After the bull offering, which is the sin offering, there's another offering. It's the burnt offering. All right, let's continue on in Exodus. I'm in verse 15 of chapter 29, and it says, "You shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram." Verse 16, "And you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around the altar." So now we have a ram. Again, these instructions are given to Moses. Verse 17, "Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash its entrails and its legs, and put them with its pieces and with its head." So this is hard work, all right? I can't stress that enough. This is not light work. It's hard work. The bull must be sacrificed, and then the ram. Both animals are strong. They need tamed. They need to be handled during this process. It's a lot of work. Verse 18, "And ye shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma and an offering made by fire to the Lord." All right. So the burnt offering is to have a sweet aroma. It's burnt to honor God, which signifies the dedication of the priest. It must be 100% to be a true living sacrifice. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. And it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So behold, dine means devour, meaning you eat it all. Nothing is left behind. He will devour you, meaning he will consume you, and you consume God. The flame that burns the ram is consumption. That priest offers their life to be consumed by God, so that nothing left is for self. We are to give all our life for Jesus. And what is proof of that today? Just saying the words, "Lord, I give you my life"? No, that's easy. That's too easy. There must be a demonstration. The word of God says, "Devour. Lord, I am here as food for you." Jesus says, "If you do not eat my flesh or drink my blood, you have no part in him." Many who heard this were already casting out demons and saw so many things, but still many left Jesus. Though he was there in their face, they left him. But he who has the Son has life. Jesus says, "I will devour him and he will devour me," meaning you become one with God. Don't you want to be one with God? Until we become one with Christ, we're going to hell, okay? And the truth, that's the truth. And the truth offends, but the truth also saves. You tell the truth of Christ with love because you don't want anyone to go to hell. The gospel's not meant to condemn, it's meant to save. So the burnt offering is the equivalent of us saying today, "Lord, I'm all yours and you're all mine," all right? But we must live that way. You must be a living sacrifice. After the Holy Spirit comes to you, forgiveness comes. Then the bull offering, right, which is the sin offering, because we need forgiveness. Then the ram offering, which is the burnt offering, signifying our dedication to Jesus. The indwelling can occur after sin is forgiven, because the Holy Spirit cannot reside with sins. You see, there's a specific order, and I'll say that just one more time. The Holy Spirit indwelling can occur only after sins are forgiven. You see how important repentance is? Let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I'm going to read to verse 41. In verse 38, it says, "Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Verse 40, And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Amen. So again, many today, they want the gifts of the Holy Spirit before they even get the Holy Spirit indwelling, and that is so backwards. The church needs to submerge its members into the in-depth teachings of God. What Peter says here in Acts directly lines up with the ceremony of priests. Don't you just love the consistency of God? I do. The Holy Spirit is coming if you repent. And it's the power you need to put to death the deeds of the flesh. After that, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to you. But he must come and indwell in you first. It's not easy. But God is clear. Are you ready to gladly receive the word? Are you ready to change? Are you ready to come to terms with that your friends and family may turn away from you? You know, we cannot take man or any material thing once we die. We are to lay up treasures in heaven. And we better sacrifice everything just to gain the one who truly matters, Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, please take diligent notes when you hear these teachings, when you hear any teachings, because that is how you're going to remember. Even I myself, when I take notes, sometimes I still need to follow up with my pastor. And it's me who's following up with my pastor because I have questions. I especially had questions about the priest, and I wanted to understand, okay, so the priest will offer the bull one time themselves, and then they will offer the ram one time. From there, the priest is now the priest. The priest is the mediator. Ask questions. Make sure you get it, because the word of God is holy and powerful. It is what is needed to convert a soul. We must understand these things. Amen? Amen. This is shared with the love of God. And this is Take It or Leave It. God bless you all.